Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, December 28th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 156, the second paragraph, "At midnight, he came home exhausted," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Bonnie B., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Reader of the text is Stephanie L. Robin P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Monday, December 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,305, and for this morning, Tuesday, December 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,310. That's 18310. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lois P., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Don, for your service. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, currently in Florida, gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today. Here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me serve, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 156, the second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Stephanie L. to begin reading. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. This is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Whew. At midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since. As we shall see, he now means a great deal to his community, and the major liabilities of 30 years of hard drinking have been repaired in four. And we read yesterday about Dr. Bob, taking the bull by the horns and going out and being ready to make those amends, even if it meant ruin. And here we see the aftermath of him making those amends. He spent the entire day. He came home at midnight. He was completely exhausted, but he was happy, and he didn't have to take a drink since then, from that moment. And then he gets to become, a contributing member of the community and repairs all of that damage, in a relatively short period of time. And I have had a similar experience, not a doctor, but I created a lot of damage in my past. Throughout my history of not only compulsive overeating, but also in relapse. And this program requires a level of ego deflation. And, that's how I see this amends process. For me, there have been amends that I haven't wanted to make. And it's like, how free do I want to be? Do I want to be free of this merciless obsession? And I'll never forget, my ex-husband, I didn't want to make an amends to him. He was There was some pretty terrible things that he had done to my children and to me. And guess what? There were some pretty terrible things I had done to him, but I felt justified in my actions. And it took many years for me to make that amends. But the craziest thing happened. He didn't take it very well. It wasn't like, oh, I forgive you. It was more like, but what about this and what about that, right? But I made that amends, and all of a sudden, all of the hard feelings I had, I don't know, I was able to forgive him even though I was making an amends to him. And we have been, on good standing since then. And I also find that when I do the things that I am the most afraid to do in this program, the things that I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. What's going to happen if I do that? Or I don't feel like doing it. But when I do the things I don't want to do, it's as if God, my God, comes in behind me and swoops me up a little bit farther up that mountain. My recovery gets just a little bit stronger every time I make an amends I'm afraid to make, or I do something that I just don't feel like doing, because this program for me is a lot about putting my ego and pride aside and humbly coming before my fellows and asking for forgiveness or honestly trying to repair and clean up the wreckage that I have left. And that's a really good deal for a compulsive overeater like me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me be of service on Tuesdays in this wonderful month of December. Happy holidays, everyone. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L., for getting us started. I'm now going to open up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Jody H.
Jody H.
Amy Abney.
Was that Amy?
Yes, MC from Massachusetts.
Great, Amy MC. Okay, and
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay, I have Jody H., Amy MC., and Robin P. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with that lineup. Jody H., followed by Amy MC. Go ahead, Jody.
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Jody H. I'm from the state of Maine, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I love this reading. Step 9, making amends. It never gets old for me. I've been in another 12-step program since I was 19 years old, and I'm now 60. And it's very interesting to see how it progresses over the years of my life. And I'm never too old to learn something new. And this time through with my steps, with my sponsor from this wonderful program of Vision, I found ordinariness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I was ordinary. I was resistant to writing down amends that I couldn't make in person, people that I had made offenses toward that were long gone, or the chances of ever meeting them again would be almost impossible. And she wanted me to write it down, like as if the person was right there, and write it down. And that was so freeing for me. I never thought it would, but just listening to my sponsor and doing the writing and doing that made some of the promises come true for me. Like in page 83, if we're painstaking about this phase of our recovery, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. Just amazing. We'll find a new freedom and a new happiness. Oh, and we won't regret the past nor wish to change it or do anything about it. And I really identified with the sharer already this morning, and I really appreciate everybody that's on this line, and I will now listen, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jody H. from Maine. Now, Amy M.C., will you share with us, followed by Robin P.? Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Amy M.C., recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Thank you so much for those of you doing service, Team Tuesday, and welcome to the newcomer and everybody who's on the line listening. I really like this passage today. I find that every time we go through this chapter, you know, new things really stand out to me. And I think it's because I have a new experience every day. Excuse my baby, who's 4 months old and on me at the moment. But what stands out to me is kind of already been shared. It's the idea of going through and making these amends. And I was just really moved by the lead sharer. And I was reminded about some of the amends that I've made and how freeing it is. And just this one amends that I made to a coworker, and I was so nervous about it and I was so bothered by it. And you know, she potentially is one of us, definitely struggles with other addictions per se that I'm aware of and that she's somewhat open about. But, you know, the look on her face when I made amends for my part, you know, for gossiping and for, you know, ill feelings and you know, immature behaviors, you know, just it was so breathtaking to see this person who I kind of feared, you know, like a lot of my discomfort with her was fear, you know, of her superiority and or, you know, just feeling less than. And it was such a humbling experience just to admit, you know, where I had caused harm and to ask for forgiveness. And then moving on from there, hearing other people share with me about the light that they saw in me. And it wasn't that I became lighter, which I did. Thank you, Lord, for that. But it was because I had a clarity that I didn't have before. And it was through going through the process and making amends and coming out the other side of it. So today I get to do that, as I was just sharing with a new sponsee. You know, I get to live all of the steps every day. You know, I wake up and I take steps 1, 2, and 3. And I pray about them, and I do my prayer and meditation, and then I'm part of a 10-step train, and I get to continue to stay current, quote-unquote, which was like, you know, almost a laughing matter back in the day when I first came into program. It wasn't staying current. It wasn't doing 10 steps. It was just kind of a complaint fest. But now I get to stay current. I get to go through the process, do a 10, share when I'm bothered, when the bedevilments come up, and they come up constantly. But I don't have to live in the discomfort anymore. And, you know, I get to live in the sunlight of the spirit and be of service. So I'm so grateful to all of you on the line who continue to trudge along with me. And I hope everybody has a blessed day. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy M.C. from Massachusetts. Robin P., will you share with us now? And then I'll be opening up the line to take more names.
Thanks
morning,
so much,
Robin.
Dawn. Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Palm Beach, Florida. Happy holidays to everybody, and thank you for everyone who does service on this meeting. The ninth step is such a turning point. That's where the promises come. And, you know, it's so funny. It was his greatest fear, and it ended up being his greatest blessing. And that's been my experience, too, when I face my greatest fears head on, and they can become my greatest blessing. And, you know, I love that there's not anybody that I would cross the street for today, that I'm at peace with people. And that's because of these steps and the ninth step and then living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, even people who had passed away, my stepfather, I got to go into a church and write him a letter and leave it there, and I know he got it. And it was so freeing for me. And the other thing that's such a blessing is to focus on my side of the street, because there's so many things that I could focus on sometimes, you know, with other people, like my stepfather. And it just was my part, my resentments, the things that were holding me back. And today, you know, we came back to the U.S. For a month. My mom really wants us to be here, and she really wants us to stay, and we're praying, and we don't know where we're going to live next month, you know, even which country we're going to live in. And we just keep surrendering and having faith in God, and one step at a time, one day at a time, and seeing which doors open and which doors close. And we had COVID a year and a half ago. We get tested, and we still have all the antibodies, and some of our family members that we came back to see, not my mother, but some other people in our family, don't want to see us because we didn't get vaccinated, even though our doctors tell us not to get vaccinated because we have the antibodies. So it's been very, I just get to live in 10, 11, and 12 and keep surrendering and knowing that God is guiding us through everything. The things that seem very upsetting are also a blessing on the other side with faith. And so we won't give up 5 minutes before the miracle, and we know that God's in charge and that God loves us. And God bless all of you with a really blessed abstinent holiday. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P. And if you're joining us later, we're on page 156, the second paragraph. It starts with, "At midnight, he came home exhausted," and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. So who would like to share? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Dara C.
Darren C.
Dara C.
Dara C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Deb, who's the other? Deb E.
Nomi S.
Nomi S. Okay, I have Danielle W., Dara C., Deb E., and Nomi S. Did I miss anyone? Okay, go ahead, Danielle W. Please share with
us. Thank you. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time. There's a couple things in this paragraph that really speak to me. The first is he came home exhausted but very happy. And it reminds me that we have to do the work. We have to do the work. And it's not a passive experience. It's a very active one. And going into step 9 for me was just terrifying. I couldn't figure out how I was going to do it. I didn't know how I was going to find people. I didn't know what their response would be. And I really saw God working in my life in this step. People would appear magically, you know, people I needed to connect with, creative ways of making amends to people who had already passed, were given to me through intuitive thought or inspiration. And I had to show up, but God was in charge. And I love where it says, major liabilities of 30 years have been repaired in 4. And there's something really magical about this step in that, you know, I had caused so much damage in my life and really hurt people close to me. And I never thought that could be healed. And this process opened the door for a more meaningful relationship. I was able to be trusted. I could take responsibility for the things that I did wrong. I can continue to do that. And it's all because God was guiding me and showing me the way and opening the door and bringing the opportunities for healing into my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. And now we'll have Dara C. share with us, please, followed by Deb E. Good morning, Dara.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you for your service. Thank everyone for your service on Team Tuesday in December. My name is Dara C. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Wilmington, Delaware. And, you know, it's a small place here. I always joke, Delaware is small and it gets smaller every day. Everybody knows everybody. And, you know, that can be a good thing, but not when you're in active addiction and burning bridges left and right, like I was doing. It's not 6 degrees of separation here. It's like 1 degree of separation. Everybody knows everybody. And I was to the point where I was hiding in diaper aisles in the store because I saw somebody I knew and I couldn't face them. And I am not kidding. I burned bridges everywhere and I just felt so helpless. I didn't see anywhere else or any way out, rather. And I just felt like I was carrying around a lot of baggage, a lot of emotional baggage. I was literally scared to go to the store. I was hiding. I was, I just didn't see any way that I could possibly rebuild these bridges. And the Step 9 Promise is a way to rebuild bridges. And it's given me a new freedom. I mean, I don't even think twice. If I have to go somewhere, I just go. I hold my head up high, and there's no more hiding in the diaper aisle. I mean, I have cleaned up my part. That's all I can do. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about me, or it's none of my business. And it's just such an amazing, profound freedom that has come from the Step 9 Promise. And like someone else shared, there were a number of people that I couldn't make direct amends to, and I didn't think I was so worried. I remember crying to my sponsor that I wasn't going to get the freedom because I couldn't go to these people. I was actually legally barred from contacting a number of these people, and I had really done some harms, and I really wanted to own it, but I wasn't allowed to reach out to them. And, you know, it still works. Just writing it out, I drove near where the building was, where they were, and I read them out loud, and it still works when I can't do it directly with the person, because it's not about that other person, duh. It's about me and owning my stuff and keeping my side of the street clean and holding my head up high when I walk out into this world, and just, like I said, feeling so free. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you so much, Dara C. from Delaware. Now, Deb E., will you share with us, followed by Nomi S.? Good morning, Deb.
Hi, Dawn. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I like those words also, exhausted, but very happy. It makes me think of the emotional exhaustion I feel just from feeling emotions. You know, I had no idea. What I realized, how many years I spent, you know, not connected to my emotions. And although I became connected to them in a way I'd never had before, program as, you know, as the years were going on, working the steps, something has been cracked open in me. It's been like almost 4 years now that it happened. And I'm at a level of feeling my emotions that I never thought I'd be capable of. You know, it was like there was one level that kind of carried me through a bunch of years, and now it was clearly time to reach another level. And it's exhausting, but it's like that exhaustion and then the satisfaction that comes after it, because I'm being honest, because I'm being true, because I'm not pretending to be someone else anymore. And it made me think of that happiness, the happiness that comes with just being genuine, just learning how to just be who I am and being accepting who I am, even if I don't like a lot of parts of me, you know, the character defects that I wish I didn't have but still have, and, you know, just building on this, on gaining this more and more acceptance just for the whole of me, you know, and not just picking the parts I like and, you know, kind of criticizing the parts I don't like, you know, kind of graduating away from that a little bit more towards just more acceptance. And I like this part. You know, it means a great deal to this community. You know, it's a reminder how we can go from being like selfish and just self-centered, and it's still hard for me in some situations to look back and see how selfish I was. It's, think that's one of those, you know, character defects that is very hard for me to accept, because I always thought I was the complete opposite of selfish. But clearly, you know, I fit right into the mold, the addict. I am very selfish. But I've seen how I've learned to be more selfless and to be more giving through this program, because we have to, you know, it's part of being recovered is working with others and giving of ourselves. And I love these reminders of how, you know, alcoholics and compulsive overeaters and addicts can go from, we have the opportunity to go from being, you know, very self-absorbed to being really good members of our communities and being helpful and giving and being generous. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Now, Nomi S., will you share? And then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. We are on page 156, the second paragraph, starting with, at midnight, he came home exhausted, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. So go ahead, Nomi, please share with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Nomi S., recovered compulsive overeater, right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I am so grateful I got to call in this morning. It's been a rough last week, in that reading this paragraph, this reminds me of when I think it's when God's giving me the power to do the things that I need to do, my tools for recovery, and that I'm earnestly in those tools and not going through the motions, that I am in that space where I am, I guess, joyfully recovered, like it's shown in this paragraph. Whereas other times it's just life is harder. Life is harder, and so the tools are a little bit more difficult to pick up, and yet God is gracious with me and has been, and is teaching me a lot of things about myself, despite not necessarily feeling that joy that's portrayed in this paragraph. But having experienced that joy in the past, I know that it exists, and I know that God exists. And I know that God has helped me release the weight that I have. And it's my job to just do what I need to do for today, whatever God will for me to do today. And some of it is hard. Some of it, when you get into relationships, intimate, like loving relationships, there's a lot that comes up. And a lot that needs to be processed, you know, in and of myself. I think I'm excited that I have you all, that I have this program, that I have that I have my recovery for today, and that I have my sponsors that I get to help, and I get to help them walk through where I've walked. And I'm just thinking about what I'm going through right now with all of the fears that come up when you're in probably the very first healthy relationship with a man that I've ever been in my entire life, 45 years of life, and all of the junk that comes back from my past, and think, well, this is something that I'll be able to help them with, that I'll be able to help them maneuver through, because that's what I'm going through right now. This is where God has me, and this is what God is teaching me about myself. And it's scary, and it takes a lot of trust, active trust, on an hourly basis, sometimes a minute-by-minute basis. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nomi S. from Tennessee. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on page 156, the second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Lindy.
Lindy.
Anita W.
Anita W. Okay, let's go with Lynn D and followed by Anita W. Go ahead, Lynn. Please share where you're calling from. Go ahead, Lynn, and share with us, please.
Oh, hi, yes. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm Lynn D from San Diego, California, and exhausted. You know, it brings me back to that first time when I was going around making kind of what I, my first amends, first time doing the steps brand new within a year. And, you know, I kind of call it my Kapok book amends, those big ones that I thought were really scary. And there was one in particular, I worked across the street from a grocery store, and I would, you know, grab my salad like a, you know, polite young lady, and then I would go ahead and steal all of the, you know, non-UPC'd, it's okay, grab a handful of this candies and stuff on the way out. And I did that for 7 years. And so when I was going to make my amends, I went to the manager with my pocketbook in hand, or my checkbook in hand, and I was like, whatever you think, you know. And anyway, long story short, he just told me to do what he was new, you know, goodness, he was probably so scared that I was going up to him. But anyways, I just did a beach cleanup or whatever with them and all day. And I remember going home from that amends just being so emotionally exhausted. And like, but after the exhaustion and the, a lot of, I think looking back, it was a lot of the fear of it that went away. It was relief and a new sense of, you know, that snowy ice caps melting, and some promises of the program coming out, you know. So, I remember that physical exhaustion after those. There was another one about somebody had turned in a high-end expensive pair of sunglasses, and I had to get it to Lost and Found. Well, it never made it there, you know. It ended up in my purse, and, you know, for months and months, I was like, oh, I got to take that. And, you know, then they ended up in my car. And so that was also in my amends, and I felt so foolish, you know, months later, giving them basically to my manager, my employer, you know. But, I've seen it over and over again how members of program can walk into society years later and just be a totally transformed person, functioning member of society, to maximal usefulness to their fellows. So with that, I'm grateful, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn D. from California. Anita W., we share with us now, please.
Yes, thank you. I'm Anita, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm just really grateful for this meeting. There's just in the solution. I just wanted to share the reading today, and making me amends. I also found that people popped out of the woodwork. People I hadn't spoke to for 40 years suddenly popped out the woodwork. So I had that opportunity to make amends. And some said that's okay, and others said I don't even remember that. And some just didn't, you know, want to be part of that relationship anymore. So it just ends up different ways. But my part in it was to do my part. But the one I recall in particular that was so freeing was a relationship I had with my father. He was a beverage abuser his entire life. We grew up in a really chaotic family, and I had to really do a lot of work on myself. And once I could forgive myself through the steps for the things that I did, I was able to be more compassionate to him. And that an opportunity came up for me just to sit with him. He was sick at home, and his wife would leave, and I would come over and I would sit with him for about 4 hours every Friday. And I could tell that I still had remnants of that resentment and some anger, even though I thought I worked on it. You know, my sponsor said, find a different way to honor him. And, you know, instead of just always going over to his house or taking his calls and things like that. So I would write a letter. But this, I was really moved that still, you know, quiet voice said, just go over, and I would sit with him. And then I did that for about 4 weeks. And then a Friday came where I said, I really need to apologize for the things that I did. You know, and I just brought up a lot of this stuff. And he looked at me and he goes, I wish I could do that, but it's too late for me. And I said, it's never too late. At that moment, we just recreated our relationship. And my resentment towards him, what I had left, just disappeared. And he died a week later. And I think I would have never done that had it not been for the program. And I got on my knees and just thank God that, you know, that can find the humility in the program to where we can do things like that. It's just priceless. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anita W. Wanted to let you know we are on page 156, the second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So do I have a couple more people that would like to share?
Christine H. from Arizona.
Who from Arizona?
Christine H.
Okay, Christine H. And Allison, was there another?
B.
And Allison B. Okay, very good. All right, Christine H., please go ahead.
Thank you. This is the first time I've been live on one of your meetings. I've been using the meetings for working on my steps, paragraphs that would, you know, I would need more information on. So I really appreciate you all being here and doing these meetings and recording them, putting them up. And so I've been in program in OA for about 3 years. And when I first got in, one of my sponsors had me write, you know, about the bedevilments. And the one that really got me that shows up here is I wanted to be encouraging to other people, and I just couldn't. I was always a drain, negative drain on everybody. And I always had a problem. There's always something going on. And here it says that now he's, he's a part of the community. You know, he's a good, you know, part of the community, and that it's been repaired for him, you know. And so that's been such a relief to be able to be encouraging to other people. And now I'm still learning how to do that and not get into other people's business where I shouldn't be or whatever, but just to not show up always negative and always woe is me kind of thing. And because the food just would, even if there, you know, I had good things going on for me, but and in me and what God put there, but I just was always upset, you know, about something. So it's just so nice to have more peace and be able to let go of the food being the solution and letting God, running to God for the solution and his comfort. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Christine H. from Arizona. Now, Allison B., will you share with us, please?
Hi, I'm Allison B. from New Mexico. Grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for everyone's service here. I really appreciate these Visions for You meeting, and I have been in this program since October, and it's just been transformational. I'm so grateful for my abstinence. I'm grateful for working these steps, and the reading today really touched me. I'm also a member of other 12-step programs, and I did a ninth step last summer, and just to share on that, I had my amends I made was that as a teenager, I used to shoplift, and I went back and kind of uncovered all those places where I had done harm, and I made amends, and sometimes it wasn't direct, of course, because it's been so many years. But what I found in the process was that as I dug down into I thought I was getting something over on the powers that be, but instead I was really hurting myself, and I wanted to get something for nothing, and that was kind of one of the discoveries I made. And then I thought, well, is that entitlement? And I don't think it was. I think it was that there was a lack of sort of unconditional love in my life, and I was trying to fill that hole. And to do that in such a destructive way, it was such a revelation of what I was doing, why I was doing it, but also the impact it could have over my life. And so making amends for that was huge. And I have to say that, you know, I would hesitate. I wouldn't do it again, just having seen what it all means. And uncovering, discovering, and discarding, as we do in 12 steps, is just an amazing healing experience. Right now, I'm working on my resentments on my step 4, and I just find this process in the Visions for You program to be absolutely, life-changing. So I'm so grateful for that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Allison B. from New Mexico, and thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just a wonderful, wonderful experience. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, thanks so much, Robin P., grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until